The Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. We're bringing you the electrical industry experts you need to hear to discuss the topics you need to know about.
Welcome to the Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. Today is our fifth and final part of a five-part conversation. If you've not already caught up, then definitely go back and listen to the first four parts where we hear from Amy the Sparky, as well as discuss everything from new technology solutions for your customers, power tag, sustainability, and much more. For those of you that are caught up, let's dive into the conversation all about the changing residential landscape.
So yeah, we're going to have a look at the residential side of the business and the residential side of the market now. Again, I've got Amy sat here with me and Vildan. We're going to look into how we see things changing in the industry and the way Amy's going about doing installs and that in the residential segment. So I guess the first question to you, Amy, is about your business and how much of a percentage of it is kind of commercial to residential?
So up until recently, it's been sort of 90% residential. The commercial side is increasing slightly, well, slowly, steadily going up. And I expect sort of by halfway through this year, we're possibly going to be 50-50, which is good. It's that's the way we wanted to go. A lot of our commercial stuff is just testing EICRs. But yeah, we'd love to get some installs. We'd love to get some, yeah, like new installs, new buildings. But yeah, we'll see.
Superb. So, but I just guess as the business grows, it'll naturally flow into different areas of the business.
Yeah, we hope so.
I suppose when you kind of look at the residential market now, there's a massive push towards, as we've spoken about in previous podcasts, around the smart buildings, smart homes, renewables and things like that. I guess two of the key things that we see at the moment from a renewable energy point of view is kind of heat pumps and kind of maybe the solar side of things, battery storage, and I guess that sort of then leads on to, I guess, EVs, effectively another battery you could have in the house. How much of a... Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this in new builds? Are you seeing it in kind of residential? What do you see, or what do you do?
So we don't install solar. I see a lot of it. You know, if we get called to do EICRs and stuff, we often see more and more houses that have got solar panels. We do quite a lot of EVs. As you can imagine, it's just becoming more and more popular. We're getting a lot of calls and
nothing in the heat pump world or anything like that.
So I've never, I think Danny's done one, only installed one heat pump. I've not installed it, but the testing that we do a lot of social housing stuff as well. And a lot of those that we test, more and more have got heat pumps installed.
I guess using battery backups, or have you not come across much of that at the moment?
No, really.
Fair enough. No,
just, sorry.
it's something that I was talking to a few people about a couple of months ago at a conference around when you kind of look at batteries, you automatically think solar, and you need to have batteries with solar and so on and so forth. But I guess one of the things that someone put forward is that you don't necessarily need solar panels to have a battery. There's a lot of... energy providers out there at the moment that are doing cheaper tariffs on an evening or throughout the night, trying to, I guess, focus on people with EVs when they charge it at a cheaper rate. But I guess they were putting forward the fact that if you were to have a battery storage set in your house, you could charge those batteries throughout the evening and then offload that into either the grid or into the house.
I don't think I've ever come across that in somebody's house. A house that I've worked in currently. Sorry, no, I've never been asked to install that either. Not without solar. We've been asked to install solar and stuff, but no, we've not done it. I don't know enough about it, if I'm honest.
Is it something that you would look at possibly moving forward, or is it just...
At the minute, I'd say no. We've got too much going on. It's just an area that I think is you do well in it if you specialised in yeah. just that. And the way our business is growing, it's not something we'd probably go into. We wouldn't be able to give enough to it to specialise in it. And
sure.
Yeah, I think people go with that sort of thing when you're researching for an installer, you go with a specialist solar installer, and we wouldn't be advertising like that.
That's fair enough, no problem. I suppose, again, looking at the EV side of things, is it in a residential situation, I assume it's just single phase, or are you starting to see three phase coming into residential buildings? I know there's a massive issue around the country, which the government are trying to get up on top of, is around having the resources there for EV cars and EV chargers. Mm-hmm. But is three phase something you're seeing in buildings?
So we don't see a lot of three phase in residential. We were on a house recently where they were considering it, but the cost of them upgrading from single phase to three phase was too much, so they didn't go for it in the end. I don't see it much. Huge buildings, like, you know, farmhouses and stuff, huge buildings with swimming pools and everything, you come across like the odd one, but generally I don't see it a lot in residential.
So I guess, I think, again, it's another one of these things that I suppose we spoke previously about electrical revolutions or evolutions. I guess it's something that's going to come. We've seen, as I said, the EV change moving yeah. forward, and to be able to support that, I think
there's, it's going to be needed, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Following up from that, moving around sort of the regulation changes as well, we've seen regulations move towards things like AFDDs, a move to advisory around surge suppression and things like that. We'll come on to AFDDs in a minute, but I guess surge suppression devices, SPDs, whatever you wish to call them.
Yeah.
What do you advise these? Do you see a lot of uptake on it?
So we fit them as standard. So we don't even, so when we're quoting a board change, so we don't even fit dual RCD boards anymore. So I don't, unless somebody specifically asks for it for whatever reason, our quote as standard is a full RCBO board with surge. We don't offer it as a, you know, an extra whatever. That's a standard. If they want a breakdown, or they want to know more about it, I'll explain it. But I've not had one single person that's gone, oh no, I don't want that. I don't want to spend an extra £50 on that. Like, everybody takes it.
Just takes the advantage of the RCBO over having the split load.
When you explain the advantages of an RCBO board, people just go, oh yeah, okay, straight away. I could give the price difference. I'd probably, because I don't want to fit dual RCD boards. So I'm always trying to, you know, I wouldn't make it like a huge difference. You know, if I was given a quote and say, for argument's sake, it was going to be £600 for a dual RCD, I'd make the RCBO only £700. Although if I was fitting a dual RCD, I wouldn't charge that much. It's just I'd try and make it close, so they always take the RCBO, because if I've installed it, I want it to be working for the best that it can, to its best ability, and I don't want I don't want calls every Saturday saying, oh, half my house has turned off, and it's convenient for me for a customer to take an RCBO board. You know, if I ever had to go back to find a fault, I know which circuit it's on. You know, they're never going to lose half the house, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I guess myself and everyone listening understands the differences and the advantages of the two types of board configuration.
It's that thing again about attracting the right type of customer, isn't it? If I give that quote as a standard, you know, people can research if there's cheaper options. You can go on websites and see, you can buy boards, you know, dual RCD boards for this much, and if that's the type of job they want, then, you know, they'll either ask me for it, or I'm going to say, oh, no, I don't install that, or whatever, and they'll go somewhere else, and that's fine. But for me, for convenience and for the type of work I want to be doing, that's just our standard.
No, I guess the split load is very much a not old, but more traditional way of doing it, when the our CVO technology wasn't available to us, but now,
yeah,
as
yeah.
I guess what the
yeah,
the,
it's like everything it had its place, didn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like all the things that we've been speaking about is moving forward with technology and and making the most of what we've got available to us.
And that's it. I don't think like price wise, it's not the huge leap that it might have been a few years back. You know, it's I think it's pretty much standard now amongst electricians to be fitting full RCBO boards with surge every time.
Sure. No, I guess the AFDD is the next sort of step forward, isn't it? What AFDD is now is what RCBOs used to be maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
That's the thing with it. It's that it is a huge leap still at the minute, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if trying to upsell that and with going through the benefits of it and stuff, that's a difficult one because the price is still a huge leap. So
yeah, no matter where you go,
it's a tricky one.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose I guess where we're talking about AFDD, obviously you need them by regulation in certain areas now. So HMOs, student accommodation, care homes, high risk residential, we need to put them in on
them on HMOs. Anything with sockets and cooker circuit, I think it is. We have installed them, but that's a forced thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like, I say, if I'm going to work on this socket circuit, that's fine. I need to, or if they're having a board upgrade, this needs to be, and they go begrudgingly, all right then, it's going to cost me how much? And
do you think the knowledge is out there in sort of the customer? Do they understand the benefits of AFDD and what they do and how they at the moment, or do you think it is just a regs driven?
I think it's just a regs driven thing.
Do you use them in anywhere outside of it, or do you see many of them being installed outside of those four areas?
No, we've never installed them outside of. In fact, I think we've only installed them in HMOs. And I don't know anyone that's trying to upsell that and is fitting them anywhere else than where they need to.
Sure.
So just because of the price.
I'm sure it's because you said RCBOs, they'll come down in price.
Yeah,
they came down in price quite dramatically.
And that'll be the new norm, won't it?
Yeah,
and that's the whole
whatever the next thing is coming. So I guess what do you think is the next thing? Do you see residential property? Do you see residential properties kind of heading the way that commercial is, with a needing to look at individual circuits to monitor that? Do you think we need to go down to that level in residential at the moment?
I'm not sure, because I think we're already more informed, aren't we, by things like our smart meter. It depends. I can't see what a person is going to want to monitor that closely at home. I don't know.
No one can kind of predict what's going to happen in the future.
You like we were talking about earlier. We've now all got more visibility on like what we're using and when. To have that on individual circuits, I fully see the benefit in a lot of commercial and industrial installs, but at home, I'm not sure.
No.
What do you think? Would you want that in your house?
I think at the moment, maybe not. I obviously have a smart meter, as I think most people do, but I think in the future it's going to be very interesting to see if we were to move down the solar route or move down the heat pump route to know what's going in, what's coming out,
maybe
at that kind of level. I guess the thing that kind of really excites me around the kind of the future home or however things are moving, in whatever's going to happen in with houses moving forward, is I guess the kind of controllability. Mm-hmm. So we've already spoken earlier about kind of being able to turn the kettle on and turn your smart speaker, asking that to do certain things, but having that kind of flexibility built into the electrical system within a house that you can almost say, I'm going to program my washing machine to come on at night, but I'm going to also have it so it only uses the load off the battery that has been charging throughout the day.
And
that sort of thing. It'd be really interesting to see how residential progresses in the I guess not too distant future.
It'd be useful to be able to monitor your socket that your fridge is on, so if you're on holiday, you'd know if your fridge had tripped, wouldn't you, and your freezer's defrosted and everything.
Definitely, yeah.
You sort of have that linked to your phone.
Yeah,
it?
No, I agree. Yeah, it probably would be good to see whether what has tripped if you're away from home. Yeah. I guess it's having that information in the palm of your hand. But
yeah, you are the key person that explaining to your clients the true financial benefits of investing in energy resilience refurbishment is the key. So with short term costs. Maybe are worth to long-term gains, not only just to well-being, but also the both financial and environmentally. So you have chance to influence your customers, and you are the key person to explain these financial benefits. So
yeah.
The customers ask you, what is the return of investments that kind of refurbishment? Do they ask that kind of things to you?
They do. I think most people will ask, although the way that people ask is, say I was doing a full rewire in a house, mm-hmm. they'd ask me, what would you have if it was your house? And that's the way a lot of customers will word it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just be honest, I'd go for this. It's future-proofing, it's everything that you need. It's up to current regs, it's everything that you need. It's minimising any future fault issues, not that there'd be any faults on anything that I installed for a long time.
And also, it's our responsibility to give that kind of feedback to the customers to explain why they should choose, for example, our products and why they should change their the house to be more efficient.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair point about choosing the right products and testing and checking everything it's correct, because I think one of the things that I think we're all kind of guilty of is testing our own consumer units in our own houses, making sure that you press that little RCD button.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be something useful in the future, that you could have a message sent to your mobile phone to say, oh, it's now time.
Yeah,
we do a big thing every time the clocks change around testing your smoke alarms, making sure that they
checking work. Checking your surge screen.
Checking your surge, So it's probably one of those things that maybe if we could have some form of comms in the future to send a message to house to go, all right, it's now time, press a little RCD, the button on the side of your RCD, just check that works, or your RCBO for instance, and as you say, you make sure that the surge window is still nice and green.
So thanks
very much for that, Amy, and for anybody that wants some more information from Schneider Electric on residential circuit protection, we've got a link to the in the information below to our residential handbook there, so be good to have a look at that.
Thanks for listening. Remember, for all of the important information discussed in today's show, you can find those in the show notes. And if you've been enjoying these episodes, be sure to hit subscribe and catch each new episode as it releases.